Call to order the Community Services Committee meeting of Tuesday, March 23rd. Debbie, would you please call roll?
Capusta?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Walchanowicz?
Here.
Thank you very much. We'll jump right into the meeting, and if we could start by asking Angie if you would give us some updates on the drug prevention program and what's been going on, please.
Definitely. Thank you very much, Council Chairman Capusta. So our most recent accomplishment was our partnership with the Independence Local Schools in showing the virtual movie of Angst. I don't know if anybody here was able to view the movie. Did anybody view it? So this has been done in many districts already, and we had been talking about it for some time and decided that the time was right to, with COVID and just all the anxiety that's surrounding that and the social isolation of our children, it would be a good time for us to show the movie. We did it virtually, which ended up working in our favor because in the past, you would have like a community showing. You know, the movie was shown one night at a like the middle school or the high school or whatever. But because of COVID, it was virtual. And so we had probably almost 300 attendees that viewed the movie. It was on March 18th, excuse me, at 7 p.m. Another benefit was that for schools that had done the in-person prior to COVID, there's a panel of experts that are interviewed in the film. And to bring those experts into their community, you know, for the question and answer session was very expensive. They would have to pay for travel. They come from all over the country. They would have to pay, you know, hotel expenses, et cetera. But because it was virtual, we were able to have the national experts available for question and answer after our showing. Again, the price of the whole thing is much less than it was had we done it in person. In addition to that, the schools also had a viewing totally separate from this as an in-service for the teachers, the staff. And I talked to Sadie McCullough. She said it was very well received. It went very well. There was a hearty question and answer, you know, afterwards as well. And what we're hoping is that, you know, that this movie, because, you know, students and family and adults talked openly about their struggles with anxiety and, you know, talked about it being, you know, an issue that starts in the brain. You know, it's not just somebody being anxious. You know, there are things that happen in the brain that cause this, and, you know, just hopefully bring more awareness surrounding this topic, and also maybe to inspire more families and independents to openly talk about it if there's an issue and to seek help. I'll talk a little bit later about the prevention specialist, but she does see, you know, anxiety is definitely on her caseload of issues. Does anybody have any questions about the movie? Okay, so there are also, and I do consider these drug prevention initiatives because I believe that any support that you can give, you know, surrounding, you know, any kind of emotional support for kids is, you know, definitely contributing to keeping them, you know, making positive choices. And our new principal, Jamie Hogue, at the high school is planning to roll out a couple of social emotional learning initiatives as well. He had some targeted for even this school year. I don't know if that's going to happen, but for sure the next school year. Just surrounding, there's one program that's called Actively Caring for People, which a lot of schools have brought in as a follow-up to Rachel's Challenge, which, you know, we've done as a community twice now. And it can be expensive to, you know, bring Mr. Scott back and or even others from the program. So this is going to be a program that's going to embrace those same values. And then he's also looking at two other programs. They're gender-based. So one will be for girls, one will be for boys. They'll be divided up. This program is going to deal with positive self-image, making positive decisions, having good relationships, building empathy for others and removing stigmas, which I think is something that we're probably going to be talking about a lot in Independence, especially with the angst movie. Excuse me. At the middle school, Principal Jamie Vanek is also implementing some programs. He's got a character program for young men, and it is going to surround, the values include ownership, servant leadership, purpose, and compassion. And this is going to be taught by male staff members. And Jim Eller from Campus Life is always also going to be helping out with that program. I have to say that at our last 25 Alive meeting, both of the principals asked Jim Eller to, you know, start coming back into the lunchroom. They wanted that lunchroom assistance. They want him to be able to connect with students. So he has, you know, he did start doing that again, and they're just very, very grateful for his help and for his assistance. And the Campus Life, they've really had some challenges with COVID, but I don't know if we talked about this last time, but Jim started a ski club. I mean, I love the way they just are forward thinking. So when, you know, indoor, you know, club activities had to cease for a while, you know, they moved it outside. The school did not have a ski club at that time. So I think it's great the way they, you know, look forward and move forward. And they're continuing to build on those activities. They have the middle school boys group. They also have high school guys and girls group, and another middle school girls group that'll be moving to the Civic Center in March. From our prevention specialist, Alexa Belkin, she has received 33 new referrals for the 2021 school year. There were 9 students from the primary school, 10 from the middle school, and 13 referrals from the high school, and 1 from the city. And there are 23 referrals that have continued from last year. So she has, that would be a total of 56 students. But of those, 5 are still waiting for parent consent, and 3 families, unfortunately, have declined services. So there are 48 students on her caseload right now, and none are receiving virtual sessions. These are all in-person sessions for her now. Either the ones that were virtual had either wrapped up, or they are back in school now. So,
pretty significant number, Ange.
I think so too. I mean, for a small district, you know, and the topics again include, you know, responses to COVID, you know, healthy coping mechanisms, suicide and its impact, of course, anxiety, depression, trauma, grief and loss, family and peer conflict, stress management, and substance abuse. These are all the issues that she's seeing with that. Does anybody have any questions?
Ange, I just want to comment that Jim Eller's doing a great job. He's going to help us with a couple of our programs. Very, very nice guy, good personality. Think you really got a winner there with him.
Thank you, Tom.
Sure. The other thing was, Ange, do you know how many people participated in that the movie, the anxiety movie, last week?
The community event, what I did, just before the meeting, Sandy sent me the list, and here's what happened. I had to go through it, so I'm going to say there were about 275 people. Some people were on there twice because maybe they logged on and they got booted off for some reason, so I went through and I deleted people that were duplicates. Some people were marked as a no, that they didn't attend, but, you know, it showed that they were in the session for 75 minutes and 83 minutes. And so even if it said no, I counted them because they had time, you know, they were there in the session. So even with my edits to that spreadsheet, it came out to about 275 people, which again, I think it would have been better attended than even an in-person session. It's very hard for parents to get out at night in the evenings. So I'm very happy with, you know, our attendance numbers.
Yeah, good. I thought it was a very good presentation to our legislators.
Thank you, Tom. It certainly was eye-opening. And we are discussing follow-ups to this. Inks does have, it's a trilogy, so there are two other movies associated with this. Of course, it's going to be in conjunction with the schools to determine if that's, you know, if we're going to go in that direction, or, you know, maybe we'll do something else surrounding anxiety. So, but we are planning follow-up to that.
Thank you.
Jim, did you have a question?
Yeah, I just was curious if you could, when you have a chance, Angie, could you send like the course outline for those courses that they're going to be taught in the School of Self-Esteem courses, just like to kind of see what topics they're kind of going over with the young people?
Oh, I can ask Jamie Hope for them. I know I don't have them, but I do have a little more detail on that. So for, let's see, the one at the middle school, they're going to be talking about, so some of the topics include unplug and reconnect. This is the middle school program. Mm-hmm. Social media awareness and digital citizenship.
Good.
Follow up and follow through. The future you. And leading and leaving a legacy. So these are some of the things at the middle school program. I'll see if Jamie Hogue has an outline for the other one, but I can tell you that the name of that program that Principal Hogue is doing is called Actively Caring for People.
Yeah,
and then the two gender-based ones, the one for girls is called Ruling Our Experiences. And the one for boys is called A Call to Men.
Thanks. Yeah, just if you have any more details, that'd be interesting to see. I think social media, particularly during the pandemic, has had a real effect on people, and I'm not sure it's always positive, so I'm glad to see that that's one of the topics that you're going to talk about. Sometimes you get in these unreal situations that social media creates, and you forget what the reality of the everyday world really is. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Definitely. You're welcome. Anything else? Well, thank you again for inviting me to your meetings, and feel free to follow up with any questions if you should have any.
One other thing, Madam Chairwoman, just out of curiosity, Andy, from your experience with the court, similar issues, but I know that late last year when we had that, and earlier this year when there was a rash of car break-ins throughout all the suburbs. They were talking about unadjudicated youths through juvenile court. I was just curious, has that situation been rectified? Have they opened the courts back up yet? And just if you might be able to explain that.
Well, I can tell you about our experience with juvenile court. I don't think that we would ever see the break-ins, because that would probably be more at the felony level. But what they're doing now is everybody goes to the intervention center. So the intervention center will do a series of assessments to determine if that child is eligible for diversion, which means they'd come back to, you know, our city for diversion, or if they're determined to have some other mental health needs, they may go in a different direction. We were fortunate to have a case where juvenile court determined that they sent it back to us, you know, for intervention. And we've actually been able to work hand in hand with juvenile court. Again, outside the box, it's something that's never been done anymore, but we determined that there was some additional assistance needed. And because of that, we were able to work directly with juvenile court. In fact, we've had, you know, several Zoom meetings as a team, and that team includes, you know, myself, Cindy from my office, people from the school, the independent local schools, and juvenile court. So it's actually gone very, very well.
Super. That's good. Yeah, I'm just curious if the court had been opening it on a felony level, but you answered my question very well. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Angie, thanks for taking time again from your schedule. We all, I'm sure I can speak for us all on council, feel it's very important to keep that link with the schools, and you do a great job in doing that for us and communicating that to us, and I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Okay, hope you're better. Thank you.
Same.
All right. If we'll move on to the second agenda item, we have the Recreation Department. Tom, would you like to take that over?
Thank you. I'm just going to pull up a PowerPoint here.
Hey, Tom, if you're in that room down in the caucus room, make sure that little speaker device there is taken off the windowsill or the floor and put on the table in the middle of you. It'll help your voices modulate good.
Thanks, Vern.
Thanks, Vern. I didn't realize that I had to be here. Is that better? Could you hear me better? Is that good?
We can hear you. It's still a little muffled, perhaps, in my view.
Maybe because of that.
Everybody
is this better? Kathleen, is that better?
Yeah, oh, yes. I think that is.
Yeah, that's substantially better.
Okay, great. Great. Okay, we're going to go through this here. Broke this up into facilities, programs, and the upcoming events that we have scheduled. So to start with our facilities, this past, again, reviewing the past quarter from basically the end of December through now. So over at the Civic Center, we extended our hours on the weekends by 2 hours. So now on Saturdays, we're open to 4, and Sundays, we're open to 3. So we did start extending our hours, and people are very appreciative of that. The attendance has started to go up at the Civic Center, especially since everybody's getting into the New Year's resolutions after the first of the year, so that's when it really, really took off. Over at the Field House, we started weekend hours. We were doing 10 to 2 both days, and we got a very good positive reception on that also because, again, as you know, especially the month of February, it was a very rough month as far as the weather-wise, and people couldn't get outside. So a lot of people walking in the track at the Field House, so that worked out really nice. And then also, by not having these events over there, we were basically open every weekend. We didn't have to close out to the events, because normally when they were rented, like a Tucker Neal tournament, it would exclude our residents from being able to use that building. So we got a lot of good feedback on that. And then also our travel baseball, which they just began practicing in February and March, they were very appreciative of being able to get in there and use the courts for their program. So it worked out very nice. Again, we're still not letting outside rentals in there at all. It's still residents, and it's the same with the Civic Center. We still got that restriction. So that's still going on. And we did also extend some hours at the Field House. We did open up on Mondays and Fridays for 2 hours, and that was another good thing that we did that. We talked to actually they contacted us, Tom Drilling from the high school, from the schools, and with the COVID they had some issues with their wrestling program, so they came to us, you know, looking for a space, and we basically offered them the Elmwood Rec building, and they basically were in the Elmwood Rec building solely themselves. We had I think we had like 2 or 3 blood banks and a couple of small meetings in the small meeting room there, but for the most part, the Elmwood Rec this past winter was dedicated to the wrestling team, and it worked out very nice. They were very appreciative of the facility, and they want to continue using that building for wrestling. So we're in talks with the schools to see what we can work out as far as that goes. You know, they even offered up possibly using the middle school for a couple of our events, so we're going to see how that goes. But those pictures are just a couple of pictures of the wrestling team at the Elmwood Rec. We did open up the showers at the Civic Center. They are one person use at a time, so we did open that. Going on here, aquatics. We did The high school had a good swim team season, a good safe one. We didn't have any outbreaks, anybody testing positive or anything. And C. Lust did a really nice job of that program. And again, we worked with them. There were a couple of home swim meets that we also had. And that ended up working out real nice. Moving on to programs, we had our junior Cavs basketball camp. We had 57 people, kids this year. We also did a youth volleyball program, and that filled up with 18 participants. We have golf lessons planned, both for youth and adults, and those will be beginning in April. Some more programs that we did this year. We did the aerobic fitness classes return to normal. So basically all of our adult aerobic classes are basically in normal mode. Again, all with the current restrictions that we have in place from the governor. Linda and Claudia started a fun fitness and nutrition class on Friday evenings at the Civic Center. And again, we had a class max of 15 participants, and again, we had that filled up very quickly. And if we were able to accommodate 25, I bet we would have probably had 25 enroll in that class. Again, the new program that Linda and Claudia got together and came up with, and again, a new offering for this year. We had a good two-week stretch of cold weather, and as you probably heard, the Elmwood Pond was a big hit this winter. Record crowds, the most I've ever seen out there. And I know Vern, I think you probably thought the same, except for back in the 70s when you were out there skating. But it was record crowds that I can remember since the 80s, so it was a big hit. At times there were 35 plus people out there, and again, a lot of residents using it, a lot of residents out there. We did get permission from the fire department to build a little fire out there. We had music piped in from the pool speakers, and it was a very nice atmosphere. We had some really nice weekend days. It was like 30 degrees, so it was perfect temperatures to be out, and it was a really nice thing that was down there, and people really participated in that activity.
Guy with the hockey stick in the lower right corner with the lime green top looks familiar.
Yeah, that guy does look familiar over there. Yeah. Let's see here. Currently, our Rec Department of Community Services are working together on this coming Saturday's Easter event, the Bunny Trail, and we've got basically a full, I think 350 kids signed up, so that's going to be a nice event. Moving on here to 2021 planned operations. At this time, we are looking at opening the outdoor pool on time, so it'll be open Memorial Day weekend. We're hoping that the Board of Health and the state will relax some of the guidelines that were put in place last year. We're hoping to have all of our programs going on, from our swim team to our swimming lessons, to our diving classes. So we are planning for all this, but again, it's all up to what our guidelines are. So, but right now we're planning to have the normal operations at the pool, but again, we got to see what our guidelines will be. We are booking out taking pavilion reservations. We have reduced capacity. We're going to have a maximum of two families at the Kiwanis Pavilion and one family at the Annex Pavilion. So we took the measurements of the buildings and we just divided it up, and we just, again, we're just going by current guidelines. And we are looking at slowly allowing some additional groups into the Elmwood Rec Building. We're looking at some of our men's evening leagues coming back possibly in April. So we're going to see how all that goes. Our Little League will begin on time, and the same thing, we'll follow the current guidelines. Again, we have plans for the outdoor pool programs, swim team, swim lessons. We are planning to do some outdoor movies this summer. Obviously, the concerts in the park we got planned, similar to last year's events. And we've got a summer youth fitness program, which was started last year by the high school cross-country coach. And we're going to try and really take that to the next level this year. Our July fireworks, still looking at doing events. I'm not sure if we're going to have the July fireworks on July, but we are planning possibly to have Home Days in the Park this year. More information on all that is to follow. Anybody got any questions on the programs or activities at this point, or before I go on to Capitol?
Yes, Jim.
I do. Thank you. So, Tom, what are the protocols on the pool? It would seem to me that that might be one of the more difficult things to keep safe.
Are you talking the indoor pool, Jim, or the outdoor pool?
The outdoor pool. I'm sorry.
Well, we, as you know, we did open last year. We opened late before we got everything in place, but the capacity was reduced at the outdoor pool, and we're hoping this year it's not reduced. We did keep it to residents only, and right now we will probably keep it to residents only again unless the guidelines get changed, and social distancing will be in place, and the cleaning that we have in place will continue also. So.
And what about like the shower rooms? Are those continue to be closed to the public?
The showers at the outdoor pool will be open. We're going to put capacity limits in both of those.
That's probably a technical capacity limit because very few people use the outdoor showers to the extent that the indoor showers, unless you would disagree, Recreation Director Walchanowicz, in my experience, that the outdoor showers are used minimally.
Correct.
And then Councilperson Trinkus also, I think my contact at, or one of my contacts at Metro Health, not an MD, but on the medical side, pretty high up there, and he was even last year saying that he felt very safe and comfortable at the outdoor pool for three reasons. One, it was outdoors and not indoors. Secondly, you had the sunshine, and that sun helped, he felt, to kill any virus on any surfaces above and beyond the cleaning methods that the rec staff team utilizes. And then three, the water, the chlorine. There's no science behind chlorine killing the coronavirus, but he felt that since hundreds of people could be in the same body of water at the same time, chlorine kills a lot of bacteria, a lot of germs, and so he felt that was another added layer of comfort that him and his family could spend at the outdoor time at the outdoor pool even last year. So I've got to think with so many people going to be vaccinated by Memorial Day weekend when the outdoor pool opens, that facility should be pretty safe this summer.
Hope so. Yeah, I remember that situation in Oakland when I think we had 20, 25 people got infected real quickly there. So that's why I was just still thinking about just trying to figure out what the protocols were.
Yeah. And at the indoor pool, Jim, we still have the, we have to reserve the lap lanes and all that. We're keeping, right now, obviously the social distance in the whole building. Wearing masks in the civic center in the building, except for when you're working out. So, we got everything still in place there, but we're looking. I talked to Mickey Bittardi from Parma, who is Recreation Director for Parma. He's on that committee with the governor, and they're saying that there's possibly going to be some changes down the road if things keep getting better. So hopefully that's what keeping our fingers crossed. So.
Tom, I have a question too. When you were talking earlier about the wrestling and the use of Elmwood for that, and then you indicated that we were talking with the middle school about possibly using, was that using some school facilities for some city functions? Is that what you were implying?
Yes, using the middle school gymnasium for some of our evening men's groups that we have, yes. They offered up just 2 days a week that we would need to use their facility, and they said that would be fine if we get to that point with negotiations and all that. So yeah, because I guess is what the school did. They converted their wrestling rooms and expanded the weight room. So right now the wrestling room at the high school has become a large weight room. From what I haven't seen it myself, but that's what I'm being told. So.
Do you have anything further, Tom?
Capital, just talked about Capital, just to give you an update of where we're at. The parked vehicle that was ordered in November will be delivered at the end of this week. We did go down and take a look at it, and it's pictured here. The Toro Polar Track, it will be delivered in the next few weeks. They're waiting on some attachments for it. So that should be here within the next 2 weeks. The bocce ball court upgrade, happy to report that we just had a meeting yesterday evening with the each of the league leaders, and there was six of us, and we went over a bunch of different plans, pictures, different ideas, and I think we came up with a very good concept and a very economical concept at that point. I'll have more on this within the next month, but we are probably going to plan to do this in the fall. That's what we all decided last night, that would be the best thing to do, is to start this project in the fall. Maybe they all offered to maybe end their regular seasons a week or two early, but I think everybody's itching to get outside, so that's why we don't want to start this project in the spring and delay the bocce season. So everybody felt that this would be the best route to go, to do this in the fall and have it open for next spring. So the splash pad, we're working on RFPs. We're planning to present something to council this summer with anticipated construction starting at the end of this coming pool season. And again, this would open up in spring of 22, and that's a kind of a rendering of what we have. That's exactly how it's going to be, but that right there is a 30 by 60 area, which is exactly what we're looking at. So we're going to send out RFPs and try and come in and see what we get proposed to us. Next item is we got for this year. Again, it's going to be a busy year for us. We got a lot of things on the agenda. The Civic Center locker room update. We met with the GPD group about a month ago, and they're working on plans. We're hoping to get a set of plans, go out to bid, and present to council possibly in May. And we're looking for a lot of this construction to take place in August. We are possibly looking at closing the Civic Center for a month, because with all these projects I'm going to talk about, it's going to take a good part of most of the facility is going to be under construction. So we got the Civic Center hardwood floors. We're waiting on prices for that. Again, this would be done in August. So between the locker rooms, the hardwood floors, and the next thing would be the Elmwood Rec building floor, that's on the agenda for this week, or this year for capital improvements. We're obtaining prices for the gym floor. Again, present to council May or June. Installation would be in August or September. And then the Civic Center track, that's on the agenda to do this year also. That would be to redo this existing 30-year-old track that we have down. So it's going to be a busy year. So that's why we may end up closing the Civic Center for a few weeks to get a lot of this work done. And the last thing I just want to say is that we've been working with Community Services on a survey, and we're happy to say that we finally settled on one, and we got it all detailed out. And this is probably the first, you guys will be the first one to actually see this, but it's a two-page survey. And this is going out in the month of April, and it'll be out for a month, and we hope to get some good feedback from the residents on between the programs and the facilities, how we're doing, and get some good things to look at for the future. So that basically wraps up my report for this quarter.
Do we have any questions for Tom? I have one,
Madam Chairman.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, I didn't see you, Dale. Yes, please.
Tom, approximately where will the splash pad, where are you planning to locate it?
It's going to be by the close to the entrance of the outdoor pool. It would be where the three large, medium-sized pear trees are. It's basically where the walkway is going to the pool. Now, if you're around, Dale, I can show you. We kind of got it mapped out there. You can take a look at it. But we feel that that'd be the best place for it. It's close to the pool. We can open that area up the way we have it designed conceptually in our minds. It can be open when the pool's not open, but still it would be fenced off. So it'd be two sets of gates. One set of gates would be to the outside, another set would be to the inside of the pool. So when the pool is in operation, the outside gate would be closed, so you'd have to go get into access to it through the pool. During the month of May, when the pool's not open, you can access it through the outside, but yet not get into the main pool. So the way we got it laid out, the way we have it visualized, we think it's the best way to go.
And as a follow-up, during the month before the pool is open, is that something that runs all the time, or is on a timer, or?
No, it is on a timer, Dale, but then it's also has a, it'll have a button. It'll run a certain amount of time. The main timer will allow it to run from, like, let's say 11 in the morning until 9 at night. So, it won't be running there the whole entire time unless somebody pushes the button to activate it. And it's also going to have a motion sensor, so it senses no motion out there. It will shut itself off.
Does somebody keep an eye on it then during the time, like in May? You have somebody around, or is that not?
That's the nice thing about a splash pad. You don't have, it doesn't require a lifeguard out there. So no, there is no lifeguard out there. We will monitor it ourselves every once in a while. We'll have our staff that are in the park, you know, we'll check on it and all that. But basically, no, if you go to like Broadview Heights or Parma, they are basically self-sufficient.
Thank you.
Tom, I had one question too. You talked about the possibility of closing the Civic Center. And as I looked at some of your slides, it was talking about installs in August. Would I be correct in assuming then that maybe the August-September timeframe was when you might be doing that?
Yes, we'd like to get that project done in August. We would only like to close it in August and try and get it open for September to when kids are back in school.
And do you believe that it would be like earlier in the summer that you would begin just kind of making residents aware of this?
Yes, correct. Yeah, we will make sure we start telling everyone and informing everyone, correct. And we will probably extend the pass is another month. If someone closed a month, we'll give them another month on their current memberships also.
That sounds very fair. Yes, Dale?
I have a question. I've got to loop back to the Kiwanis Pavilion in that the alumni brunch is typically scheduled there. At this point, what is the capacity? I realize hopefully that'll change in the summer, but what's the capacity now?
Do you remember what we came up with by chance?
For the reservations that we're doing right now, based on the measurements that we had just for inside, we're going with 60 on each side. So that will be a total of 120. And our current policy is to also basically have all of the doors open, put some of the picnic tables towards the outside. So we're spreading out more than we, basically over the actual capacity that it would be at. But we're looking for 60 maximum each side, so that would be a 120 total.
Thank you.
And how about the other pavilion, to follow up with Dale's question? But the capacity is what I'm asking.
Basically going to be 60.
60, okay.
Yes. That pavilion has half the amount of tables.
Yeah. I like your motto up here, too. Did you develop that, Tom, with your commitment?
Yeah,
your,
that's our yes, we've had that.
I don't know, I've seen it. That looks nice. I like that. Okay, any other questions of Tom? All right, great report. Thank you so much. Then if we can ask for our community services department.
Can everyone hear me okay?
Left and the right on the hills.
All right, so we're just going over a quarterly review. We're looking at December, January, February. We'll touch upon a little things this month, a few things this month, I should say. And then some upcoming and new programming. Just for our, ongoing programs and services, still have 14 seniors on our daily resident call-in list. And this season we had 699 residents sign up for snow removal. Our team has been fielding calls to help them with the signing up for COVID-19 vaccines. We're the point group for that. So it's kind of slowed down this week and last week, but we were getting a lot of calls. And we're just helping them kind of navigate how, you know, who to contact and how to sign up through either Drug Mart or how to go about going with their from the VA or anything like that. We resumed using volunteers for our Meals on Wheels in November of 2020. So we're still doing that. We have down below a chart with the meals we served. So in those 3 months, we did 563 deliveries. And we have steadily about 14 participants every week. For our senior transportation, of course, we do medical and non-medical. So that would include hair appointments, groceries, pharmacy pickup, things of that nature. And we have 73 primary appointments and 13 secondary in those 3 months. We have been getting some assistance from the Recreation Department with some of our transports and deliveries, which we have really appreciated. And our Welcome Wagon program, as you see below that, doesn't seem like really high numbers, but that's actually double what we normally get during those months. So I'm not sure if it's more houses sold or more babies born or if people are just bored enough to read the spotlight now. So those numbers have doubled there. And we'll move right into adult programming. Here's a chart with just our 55 plus lunches. And we serve more meals on Fridays just naturally. I think that might be because a lot of our seniors are still working. It's easier for them to pick up lunch on Friday. That was the same story when we were in-house. So we served 4,000, over 4,000 Tuesday meals and about 4,200 Friday meals. The largest meal was the New Year's Eve lunch, which was 444. That was our cap. Like we talked about in the last meeting, we did increase the price from $3 to $5 per meal, but we did pull the numbers and it didn't actually affect participation at all. In fact, participation is up by 18%. So you see below the three-month averages, September, October, November, about 324 average, and December, January, February, 381. So people are still really enjoying the meal, and we enjoy seeing them every week, and it just kind of gives us a quick five-second welfare check. Yes.
Just out of curiosity, I know we qualified a new vendor. Have you gotten any feedback on the new vendor that got the outfit out of Canton versus the traditional vendor that we were using?
Yes, we have. So we've used that vendor six times this year. Actually used them today. We have received enough negative feedback that we've decided not to continue using that caterer. So effective today and going forward, we are going to be sticking with Lori's Custom Catering, which we ran by with the purchasing coordinator and said that we could do that. So today was the last day we used TJK Concessions.
Thank you.
Can you give us an idea, Amber, of what some of the concerns were from the residents, just generally, I mean?
Yes, I would say the majority of the concerns were just that they didn't like the food. And like today, for instance, the complaints we got was the quantity of food was not really what the other caterer is providing. They're not getting as much food with the one caterer.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kathleen, I've fielded several complaints about this current.
Really?
Yeah. Several.
I think it was good we took a chance and looked out at somebody else, and that's the only way you'll know if we're doing the best by our residents. So that was good.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, and Lori did say, Lori Rosardi, that is, she said that she really enjoyed working with that company, and they were, you know, every other aspect of them was really great. They were great working with, and he was a great guy. But, you know, due to the amount of complaints from seniors, you know, we've decided to go a different direction. Okay. Now, and this isn't on the slide, but in addition to the meals, we've been offering the small group in-house senior programs. So we're still doing a weekly movie. We have a weekly exercise group, which is a matter of balance, and a monthly Mind Matters class. And all of our programs are at maximum capacity with wait lists. We cannot, according to the Board of Health, we cannot have more than 10 people in those adult classes. So we're just trying to, you know, serve as many people as we can, but we're kind of limited there.
Amber, could I ask?
Yes.
You're limited, I understand, by the number that could come to that class. Do we have either staff and or space to perhaps do a second session at an alternate time? I mean, simultaneously to these going on, or is that not feasible with your staffing and space?
We've brought that up, possibly maybe doing for the movie, like showing the movie twice in a day, for instance. So we don't know if we have enough people on the wait list to really warrant a second session. But there are some movies where we do have 10 people on the wait list. So we could always add a matinee. We could just kind of do it on a weekly basis. But I have been talking with Lori about how could we possibly, you know, expand these sessions, because, you know, we really want to make sure everybody gets a chance at these classes. So we definitely thought about that, and we're looking into it.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, that's why I was asking, because I know that I've heard from residents who participated in those particular programs in the past, too, Mind Matters, The Balance, and so forth, how valuable they were. And I thought if we had a way that we could extend that safely to an additional population, that would be great. All right, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so moving on to some youth programs. These are the youth programs that we offer at the Civic Center. So we had some preschool play times, and that's just basically we set up some equipment in the White Oak rooms, and the kids just kind of run around and burn off some energy, get them out of the house for an hour. And we have our craft classes. We have game night. We brought back Junior Chef. These are all small class sizes, but we offer several during the week so that we can, you know, everybody who wants to take it can. Claudia has been really doing a great job, and not only is she, you know, doing her regular youth programming stuff, but she's also without her assistant for quite a while now. So, and then she's also helping where Gordon used to do the posters. She's collaborating with the rec department, so she really is doing a fantastic job, and you know, I'm just really impressed that she was able to do these classes with everything else that's going on. So it's also worth mentioning, since starting these programs and in addition to the child care programs we offer, we haven't had a single case of COVID reported stemming from our programs. We're really diligent about our temp checks and our distance and having the kids wash their hands. And the staff's been really diligent about the rules.
Great.
The child care programs, that would be our before school, after school, school holiday specials. We didn't have our December camp like we normally do, but we picked back up in January with those school holiday specials. We're able to accommodate up to 25 kids due to spacing and staffing. Our programs continue to grow and we consistently have wait lists, but we're kind of limited by space and staffing, and we're basically following the schools, what the schools are following from the county, which is for the mask wearing, the hand washing, the social distance. And with our groups, with the small groups of up to 10, we have to have a certain number of staff monitor those groups. So, you know, we're doing pretty well with that. But, you know, we always wish we could help everybody. So we're hoping that in the fall we can have a little more wiggle room with what we're able to do. We did a couple special programs in the last 3 months. We did the Gingerbread House program. Originally, we had planned for that to be in the building, but we have decided that it was safer to let people pick up their kits and take them home. And in doing that, we were actually able to accommodate more people. So we had 40 kits sold. We estimate about 100 people participated. And we also had a contest this year, which we don't normally do. We had about half that group entered the contest, and we had a couple of baking kits as prizes for the kids. So they really enjoyed that, and I think that it kind of got the community engaged because we asked them to go on Facebook and vote for their favorite, which they really enjoy doing. And then in that same vein, we did, in January, we did a snowman contest. Same thing, entered online, they just sent us an email, and then people vote on Facebook. So these were the top three, and we gave them prizes like indoor s'more making kits and sledding things and snowball makers and all kinds of fun stuff like that. So these are kind of fun things to do in the winter when people were stuck at home and needed something to make them smile.
Looks like family or prize winner number two thought ahead. In the event that you run this contest again, their snowman might last.
Yeah, we actually had three of our entries were wood cutouts, which is kind of cool because we told people to be creative. So.
Right, oh, absolutely.
We had a good variety. And then we did a couple of modified programs. Remembrance we did as a pickup. And so we did that at the normal day. We still had 58 people participate. We gave them their angel ornament with the tag with their loved one and then a poem that they could read at home. So, you know, it wasn't the same as normal, but we thought it'd be nice to do something just because people, you know, at that time at Christmas, they you know, they need to remember their loved ones. We offered 2 take and make crafts, and so people could come into the Civic Center, reserve their craft, and then they trade us a canned good or a donation for the food pantry. We are collecting for the food pantry, and we're continually collecting for them. So I'd say, how often do you think that bin fills up? I mean, I'm always seeing it, probably every week or so. It's full. Full of stuff. So people are still donating. There's still a need there. So we kind of already had the kits on hand for Holiday Fest, so we thought, you know, why not give people something to do at home? We also did coloring pages for Valentine's Day and, you know, things of that nature. We did a preschool holiday special, the Polar Express. We had Santa come in, and Eric helped us out, and we had Santa read the Polar Express and the, what was the other book, The Night Before Christmas. And then after the program, we put that online for anybody to watch on the city's YouTube page.
Amber, I have a question, if I could, about the food pantry. Do we designate one particular pantry that goes to? Do we rotate? Where do we decide where that food goes?
Currently, the food is going to the St. Michael's Food Pantry. I know in the past we had given donations to Lend a Hand. I'm sure there were others, but since the pandemic started, it's been going straight to St. Michael's.
Okay, that's good. Let me ask this then. Do we make sure that we know that the other parishes, other churches in our community are aware that that pantry exists? I would imagine some of them are, but do we make an outreach to make sure they're aware so that any church could utilize that for their parishioners that are in our community?
I could definitely send something out. I did talk to the Presbyterian Church because they used to have a food bank. So they knew about St. Michael's. They've been sending anybody that comes into St. Michael's. But I will make sure that the other churches are aware.
Okay. I was glad to hear that you said that we're collecting what sounds like better volumes of food. Do we keep and I realize we have lesser numbers of folks coming into our center right now, but do we keep a bin or something there on an ongoing basis, or is it just when you're having an event that we put that out?
No, the bin is out. It's right by the entrance, and like I said, that thing fills up probably every week. So anybody who comes into the Civic Center or comes into workout can drop off just continually, anytime.
Well, I applaud you for that. I have a friend who happens to work at another food program and was indicating that the volume has just gone up astronomically of those in need. So I think the fact that you guys are making such a continual overture to collect and make it visible is a great thing. And I would strongly encourage you to continue to do that at all the programs. I think we want to be known as a giving community, and this is an easy way to meet a very significant need. So thank you.
Definitely. Yeah, and when I talked to our contact at St. Michael's, he said he has never seen so many people in need to use the food bank, and they're very appreciative of our partnership, and we're just going to keep going as long as they need it. I mean, we can keep that out, you know, as long as they need patients.
Sometimes when we've had the events, and if I've helped a volunteer, people will come in the door and they'll go, oh, I forgot my food, I forgot, which I believe is legitimate, don't get me wrong. But I think with us keeping the bins there, keeping the visibility when we send things out or put on our flyers to actually put that in print, I think it's going to become more routine, and that's what I'd truly like to see. So.
Yes, definitely. And we even get people who come in to the drive-in lunch, and they'll say, when you put my lunch in the trunk, grab the bag of food in there. So. Sometimes we even collect when they do the drive-through lunch.
That's great. That's great.
And just on to a couple program revivals and changes. So these are the programs we brought back since December 2020. So like I mentioned, the Better Balance, the Junior Chef, Mind Matters and Yoga. And then this year, we're going to bring back the adult cooking class. We're going to be partnering with Vista Springs, their executive chef, for those. Fall Fest, Memorial Day services and parade. We did have a modified service last year, but our department didn't do that service. We will be back to normal hopefully this year. And the safe boating course, we're going to try to do a virtual safe boating course for the community, and that will be coming up next month. summer playgrounds. Last year we were only able to do summer camp, so we're going to be doing both camp and playgrounds. And then I've been getting more requests for the tot room to be reopened. We've been looking into that for several months. And I thought maybe this would be a good time to kind of revisit the tot room prices. We don't have to go over anything necessarily, but back at, let's see, 2016, we brought up taking the price out of ordinance. Other communities charge maybe $2 or $3, even the members, to use the tot room. I don't know where it went after that meeting. In that meeting, it was decided that the director at that time was to reach out to Greg O'Brien to try to see if we could pull that, and I don't know where it ended up. So I sent that information back to the mayor's office at the beginning of the month, and you know, if we are going to make a change, this wouldn't be a terrible time to do it before we reopen again. But I just wanted to kind of, you know, put that out there and have people thinking about that.
And the current charge, Amber, is?
$1 per hour per child.
Mm-hmm. When you're talking about a change, is that a change to the cost, or what do you mean?
The change that we had proposed originally was to not have any prices for activities in ordinance so that they could fluctuate as necessary, whether that be to go up or just to pull it, either way. That's what we're looking at. And then new, starting April 1st, we are changing our caterer for Meals on Wheels. We are going to be partnering with Vista Springs, Ravinia, and they actually are going to be delivering as well. And one of the nice perks about that is that the price does not go up for our residents, and in addition, they get a monthly menu, which wasn't available before. We're kind of hopeful that this will be a better situation. Our volunteers are a little bummed, of course, because they really love seeing our seniors, but there's other capacities where we can use those volunteers to help us out. So, you know, we're really looking forward to this partnership.
Kind of a question about that. So you said no price increase, and now Vista Springs will do the delivery. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, I think it's a win-win, obviously, because I think it's a good position for Vista Springs to be put in, first as a community partner, but secondly, with the potential that as our residents might get some of those meals, and then if some of those same residents might need to think about where they want to go for their next living arrangement if they have to leave their private homes, that's a big win. That could be a big win, because I know for a fact that a considerable amount of time, a senior will want to know what's the food like there, what's it going to be like, and if they have this, that's a good thing. I was wondering, this is just in my mind, my thinking, but maybe down the line, if you ever have occasion to talk with Vista Springs again, a couple of communities that I've been aware of in the past have actually opened up their facility, such as the Vista Springs dining room, to community residents, seniors, and on a reservation basis at a cost that the facility determines, so it's not a loss for them. But this has been very beneficial too. One, in again, visibility, people getting their eyes into that facility, seeing it, could be potential business for the assisted living facility. Secondly, it's been helpful for some of the seniors who are considering if they want to make this move. They're perhaps not as anxious about thinking about going, particularly someplace that maybe for the last 3 months, 6 months, they've had a meal at periodically. So that's another thing. And then the third factor, I believe, is healthy, nutritious meals. I've most often seen this taken advantage of, to be honest with you, by males who were the sole survivor in the spousal unit, and it just became a way, you know, they were comfortable with cooking, didn't want to, whatever. So I think there could be a win on a number of avenues there, and I'd be real interested if you ever had a chance to talk to them to see what kind of a response that we might get from them. There may be some real barriers on their end as to why they couldn't or wouldn't want to do it, but I think it would be worth posing at least.
Yes, and I do know that Vista Springs is offering I think they're doing it on a monthly basis. They're offering a meal on Wednesday, and I believe it's free to 55 plus.
Right. It's part of their marketing,
Yeah, are taking advantage of that. They made a reservation there, so that's nice that they're, you know, getting people in the door, but also they have a nutritionist on staff, so you know that meal is going to be healthy and or at least nutritious. Mm-hmm.
Chris, did you have a question?
Yeah, I had a question for Amber. If we could just kind of talk about the summer playground program for a couple of minutes, mm-hmm. Since we didn't have it last year, and obviously I have a 6-year-old that would want to go into that. What are some of our protocols going to be? Is it going to be at the Civic Center? Is it going to be at the Fieldhouse? Can you kind of touch base on some of that stuff for me?
Yes, I just have a little bit of information because Claudia is still working with the administration, just trying to establish, you know, what exactly we're doing. It, as far as I know, it will be at the Civic Center. We may have to utilize all of the rooms just to get the spacing in place. Currently, there has to be some kind of barrier or something between groups, which is what we're using at the after-school program. And then also the capacity would be limited. We had looked at two different models. One was a 6-week program, and the other was 2 3-week programs. We were looking at 2 3-week programs because we were hoping to serve as many residents as possible, which we could do if we broke it up. But I'm not 100% sure on the model they're going with, but, you know, we're still in the planning stages right now.
Oh. So we're most likely we're going to cut down on the amount of kids we can take for that program. Because I know before was it someplace close to 100 or maybe a little over?
The maximum at the last time we did it was 136.
Okay.
Currently we could do 60, or we could do 2 sessions of 60. We're still figuring that out with the room and staffing and all of those other things that we have to consider this year.
Okay, so if we do it that route, then we hold it down to 60. I know years in the past, when I would sign my other daughter up, it was basically first come, first serve. When we're going to cut it drastically like that, how are we going to go, how would you guys go about signing, you know, residents up for those programs? I know you might not know yet, but I have people asking as well, so I'm just trying to get as much information as I can.
Right. We don't have the sign-up information ironed out yet. And as it goes for summer camp, for instance, summer camp always fills up even in a regular year, and it's always a first-come, first-served basis. Whether or not we still stick with that route is yet to be determined.
Right. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, Dale.
I thought Amber, didn't Vista Springs also do some kind of a soup program for a number of weeks?
Oh, so what kind of program?
Didn't they provide soup for about a 6-week period?
Uh-oh. I'm not sure about that.
Oxtail soup.
No, that was at my house.
No, I'm not sure about that. I just know about the one lunch program. And then we just have one more slide, and then...
I'm sorry, Jim, you had a question?
Just out of curiosity, who are we displacing for the Meals and Wheels program? What's the name of the vendor we currently use?
Coin Catering.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. They used to do our church.
Oh, okay. We've had a number of caterers over the years. We've been working with them, probably 4 or 5 years. We've had a number of different places we've worked with, including nursing homes and different things. So this should be a good change.
Hope so.
Okay. All right, and then one last slide. Where'd it go? What did I do? Well.
Yeah, try to go forward.
Okay.
Come on, Eric, figure it out.
Okay, well, Good thing there's only one slide left. I decided to eat the last page. Oh, there we go. Okay, so.
Let's try to do it again.
All right. Maybe there's too many graphics.
There we go.
We're trying a couple new things this year. One is our citywide garage sale. A lot of different communities do this. There's Cuyahoga Heights, Broadview Heights, Seven Hills, Valley View, Brooklyn Heights, they all do a citywide garage sale. So I thought, why not us? So we're going to try this out. It takes very minimal staffing. It's really self-sufficient. They just basically, anybody in Independence can have their garage sale if they choose this weekend. I talked to Mike Giroux at Building. He said he'd waive the permits for that weekend. And it's just kind of a nice thing both for sellers and for vendors because they get more shoppers because there's a draw of more sales, and they get to clean out their house, and then they kind of, get to have some fun with their neighbors. So we're going to try that out, and that'll be in June. And we're also hoping to kind of branch off from Holiday Fest. We always have a small craft fair in Holiday Fest, but, since we're talking about modifying events and such, this would be a good year to split off and do a craft and vendor fair on its own, separate weekend. I did check with Kiwanis, and they are not having their garage sales this year. So this would be a nice thing to kind of put into place. I know there's a lot of people in Independence who have side businesses, homemade crafts, small businesses from home. So this would be a nice way for them to come out and get some sales for their businesses. And just something that we try out, like I said, we're trying to reach more people online and just kind of have some activities people can do at home. So since we didn't have Irish Fest, we just did something called a virtual pet parade. So people sent their photos in for St. Patty's Day, and we had that available for people to see online. So I know it's not the same, but like I said, we're just trying to get people engaged in a safe way.
Looks good. Some great ideas.
Kathleen, I have a question.
Yes, Chris.
I don't know if it'll be for Tom or for Amber, but I've had several families inquire about having a movie in the park more frequently in the summertime with potential like food trucks. Is there any possibility for that or any talks for that?
I could probably answer that. Yeah, we are planning additional movies and having food trucks along with the movies. So yes, you'll see more of this coming summer.
Perfect. Thanks.
Okay. Yes, Jim.
Just observation. I participated in a Hinkley used to have a community garage sale, and it was really effective. So Amber, congratulations. I think that's a good idea. The Hinkley police were very engaged. Just make sure that the chief, gives guidance along those lines, because sometimes there are people who want to get bargains, and there's some nefarious individuals out there checking out people's homes. So let's just make sure that we have a pretty strong, risk assessment from the police as to what the proper procedures may want to be.
That's some good advice. And I did call every community. Before we decided to do this, I called every community and talked to their point person. And my first question to them was, do you have any issues that you need to involve your police department in? And they said, never. They said they've never had traffic issues, they've never had issues with, property or anything like that. That being said, though, I am going to, make sure that they are aware of what's going on. Maybe they can kind of do a little more, buzzing through town just to make sure there's nobody poking around who's not supposed to, supposed to be snooping. But I'm really looking forward to this too, because, it gets people into the community, for shopping, of course, but also, I've talked to so many people who have just said during this pandemic, they have just been cleaning like crazy, and they're just going through garages and attics and everything. So it should be a win-win. They can declutter, and they can kind of do something fun.
I'm going to add, I'm sorry, go on.
It's an extremely good idea. I'm really impressed. I think it's a good idea. I just remember when Dr. Kaladrovic had an art exhibit out of my neighbor on Dalebrook and got hit for $100,000 worth of stolen merchandise the next day because someone was casing the house. So,
oh my God.
Careful. Yep.
Yes, definitely. In
1971, $100,000 was a lot of money.
Yeah,
absolutely. Amber, I was just had another thought as Tom, as we were going through this. Might we consider or give some thought to, I know that, or I believe when the Kiwanis do theirs, that at the end of it, they have some like distribution or whatever, what's left if you want to give it away and not take it back home with you. There's a potential to do that. I'm wondering if there is an organization or a group that we might be able to partner with who, I don't know how we'd logistically work this out, so let me think out loud. Maybe if in advance when you registered, you indicated that if I have any goods left over, I'd like to be contacted. I'm just making that up. And then this group would, that at that point in time, I don't mean like 12 days later, I mean at that point in time, they'd have to have folks available to either come out and get the things, or we could have a central place where we could take our stuff. Do you see what I'm saying? I think it could be,
yes.
Because otherwise, your point is well taken. We clear out, we put it in on our driveway for this garage sale, and a third of it doesn't go, and we're doing something with it, and sometimes it's throwing it out, and maybe there's stuff there that could benefit other people. I know can only speak to my parish, St. Michael's, I know works with an organization, I believe it's called like I Am Ministry, it used to be housed on Granger Road, in the building in Independence, and now I believe our pastor said it's at St. Therese, further down around Jennings. That's just one organization that I know takes home goods, things of this nature. Is that something we can maybe look into?
Yes, all of the communities I talk to, they arrange for a charity to come around to anyone who has extra. So at the time they sign up, they will check off if they want a charity to come by and pick up their goods the following week. And there was one community who had their service department pick everything up, but I think that I could get Easter Seals or Veterans of America, one of those groups. I haven't quite decided which group yet, but there will be an option to have that picked up afterward.
Can I also make another suggestion? I'm glad to hear that. May I suggest to you that perhaps you contact the clergy in our community from our churches and see who they may have some connection with already? Because my point being, they're probably connected not only with us giving to these groups, but maybe to some of our residents receiving from these groups. So I don't think that could hurt us to at least, and then you could still vet them and see which one you felt was, or which more than one you might feel is worth working with. But that may be a good starting point.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I have a question. You made a comment to another subject a little bit earlier when you were giving us your statistics, Amber, on the transportation. You mentioned that the rec department is assisting you at some points in time. I didn't see like numbers of volume that would have necessitated that. Is it a staffing issue then that necessitated that?
No, our main driver was out ill for several weeks.
So what staffing? It was based on personnel. You needed to borrow personnel because you didn't have it.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Sorry, I didn't clarify that.
Well, no, that's okay. I was wondering about that. And it's going to lead me into my next question. And it's kind of it's staffing related as well. I heard you make reference when you were talking about the youth programs, that the assistant position there, I don't know if it was full or part-time, but I assume that remains vacant from the comments that you made. I know that I've had several council people have engaged in this discussion, as well as a few residents related to the social worker position not being refilled. And then and this is maybe my own ignorance, I don't know if you've been brought on as director or you have a change in your title, or if that position is just going to be as it is now. I think that's something that would be helpful for us to, as council, to have some more information about.
Yes, I agree. We are actually, we had reviewed the job description for the social worker back in January. I had been going back and forth with the human resources department, and I keep following up, but no movement has been made to post the job for the social worker position. So, I I'm still waiting on that. I have no information about the director of the department yet. I'm currently still in my position as the office coordinator. And the youth programmer position was previously held by Marcia Abedini. That was a 28-hour a week job. She took Mary Walsh's position at the field house full time, and the job was not replaced.
Okay. I don't know, but I can I hear from any of the other council persons? Do you have any thoughts on this?
Madam Chairwoman, I would just say I think the when we talked to Mayor Kurtz about the social worker position at the last meeting, I think it was he indicated that he was going to try to advertise it here in the first quarter. So I think we still got a few more, maybe another month here left in the first quarter. But I think it is the certainly the will of the committee and of council that position be filled. And so maybe just another conversation with the mayor about that, because it was back in what November, December that he did indicate that he heard us loud and clear on that, and that was going to be something that would. He would try to get done in the first quarter. So we're still in the first quarter, and let's hope we can get that advertised here in the next, 37 days.
We haven't had a social worker for what, about roughly 18 months, or has it been longer?
It's been closer to 18 months than 12 months, I can tell you that.
Okay.
I know that Jenny left, I was thinking July, because it was a summertime.
It was summer, yeah.
Yeah, so probably a year and a half, but.
I have not heard anything about a director yet from any of my conversations.
Yeah. And just to clarify, Jim, I think the quarter ends in a few days. No.
Oh. Yeah, I was thinking of semesters, I think. Sorry.
I know. You're too school oriented there. And even that youth programmer assistant, it looks like you're doing such great programs, and that there's need there. Because we've had to separate some things out, reduce our sizes and so forth, we can't perhaps always meet the need with our existing staff. And I would support looking at getting that replaced too, because I think it's important. And I obviously have a soft spot in my heart for community services and always will, but I believe that we have the heart of our community coming out of these two departments that have presented to us today, both our rec department and our community service department. And while I know we're not responsible, it's an administrative decision with staffing, I respect that totally, but I think that supporting that and recognizing the need that your departments have for that, the coordination though that you showed between your departments, again with the rec department helping out with your driving when your personnel was low, I mean, that's beautiful. That's a great thing. And I think that says a lot about the two of you functioning in your capacity and your staffs. And I would applaud you for that and encourage you to continue that. And just know that I think I speak for several of us, maybe here sitting today, that we support you in those efforts and your efforts to try to get your manpower up to where perhaps you feel it's needed to. So.
And I don't want to see our current staffing run into the ground trying to do all this by themselves. So, we're rolling into a very busy time of the year for us, so I'm hoping help is on the way.
Definitely. Burnout is always on our radar, so we're trying to keep up with everything, but it is going to pick up. And like I said, because we want to serve as many community members as possible, especially through our youth programs, if we had more staff, we could offer more classes. Being that we're limited with size, and you know, we could do so much more. So I keep checking in just to kind of see if there's any updates on the staffing, but nothing to report to you today, unfortunately.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Amber.
And Kathleen, maybe we should bring this up with the mayor.
Yeah, I'm thinking if there seems that there's momentum amongst the majority of us on council, I think that we can help support our directors in this area.
So, I agree.
Okay, very good. Any further business? Okay. Oh, yes, Tom. Hi, Jim.
Sorry. I just have a comment. I just, everybody that we have in our city does a terrific job, but Boy, Amber and Tom, I can't thank you enough for the work you're doing. You're innovating. You're constantly coming up with new ideas. It's really impressive. Both of you have really done a terrific job. I'm really, really happy to have you working for the citizens of our community. And I learn something every day because I don't get up there very frequently. Now that I got my vaccine, I guess maybe I could be a little bit more out and about. But truly impressive, both of you. You've really handled adversity particularly well. You've come up with some really innovative plans and ideas. And I know that the residents really, really appreciate them. And just to both of you, thank you. Thank you for all of you're doing for our community. I know that you can be underappreciated at times. And just wanted to relate to you that we get always good feedback from the both of you, but particularly during this pandemic when the time to shine was here, you both have both really shown. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Any other business before this committee? Nathan, may I have a thank you both for and your staffs for presenting again today. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
Second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Have a good evening, all.
Thanks, all. Take care.